welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that journey as much as I did. So check out your body right now, especially wherever you felt the problem or the issue before, and see what's there now. And I hope you're feeling wonderful. So now we'll move to the recorded Q&A session so that we can hear what happened for those who attended the live program. Okay, let's open the Q&A session. Anna, let's begin with you.
Thanks. Well, first of all, that was just lovely. I addressed some digestive issues. At the end of it, I had a sun in my belly. It radiated warmth and love to the rest of my body. It was really nice. It was very helpful. It was very interesting. Also, I guess this brings up a question. When we went through the sensation, I could feel the sensation. Then it changed. Mm-hmm. I got a color immediately in all the things that you asked. And when we went into the belief closet and I looked at it, it was an entity. It was a person. It looked, like a person to me.
Was it someone who was recognizable?
Yeah.
Did it look like someone you knew or just a stranger?
A stranger, an amorphous type of person. It wasn't completely clarified. It was more of a face and a partial body.
Uh-huh. And did it go into the fire willingly?
It was some resistance. There was something you said that was a little different. You know how we thank it for whatever it gave us? Well,
yes, uh-huh.
I couldn't figure out what was the good in it for a few minutes, and then I did. Once I figured that out, then it would leave. It refused to leave until I figured out what its goodness was.
That's wonderful. That's a great report. Thank you. So entities are really interesting. I've spent a fair amount of time studying them, and of course it depends on what you believe, so I try to stay open to different ways of describing or labeling the life forms that aren't living humans, but they're something else. You know, throughout history, people have communicated with angels and leprechauns and fairies and their ancestors and nature spirits. So there's something or many things out there that can communicate with you if you're sensitive and curious. You know, we acknowledge living things that have bodies, you know, humans and animals and plants, and there's fungi and bacteria and viruses and molds. You know, we know they're alive, but we don't relate to them very much unless they make us sick. And biologists know that we have millions of bacteria and viruses that live inside of us. The numbers are really astounding. So they're all around us and they're inside of us, and we can relate to those because science can prove their existence. There's a new book out called Gulp, Adventures on the Alimentary Canal. And, you know, from our mouth to the other end is a long tube, and it's got many different kinds of bacteria in it and viruses. And depending on our diet, different bacteria flourish, and there's hundreds of different kinds of bacteria inside every one of us, and they all fit into particular ecosystems and niches in our body. And if you don't have the right bacteria or if you have the wrong ones, it can make a real mess of your digestive system. Now, we could consider those colonies of bacteria entities. Viruses, for example, hide out in the body, and we've been living with them for millions of years. They're even part of our DNA. And we know that viruses reproduce. They're kind of like little nanomachines that duplicate themselves. But what else do they do? You know, all of these things could be called entities. There also may be discarnate entities, beings without bodies, but science hasn't proven them. And in science, if it can't be proven, it doesn't exist, which is an interesting belief system, right? So one of the people I've studied with, Terrence McKenna, who's explored other dimensions through the use of drugs, he called these things DMT elves, because when you take DMT, and you have DMT in your brain, by the way, dimethyltryptamine, you can see and communicate with these beings. And shamans around the world have been doing that for thousands of years. So I like to stay open-minded since I work so deeply in this imaginal realm where anything and everything can happen. And it's quite possible that there are entities that come into us or take a ride for a while and function inside of us, and you know, they might feed off of us like viruses or bacteria do. Now, in your case, it's possible that it was a biological entity, you know, kind of like a free rider that's been with you for a while. Or it also could be your subconscious's way of representing something else inside of you, like a belief or a karmic contract. Now, we don't know this stuff for sure because we don't have a scientific basis for describing it or labeling it. But we can still work with it in the same way. You can still get rid of something out of your body in the same way, whether it's an actual virus or bacteria or a discarnate entity or a ghost from a past life. We don't know what the heck it is. We just know that we can get rid of it.
Yeah, what was funny, what you said about feeding, it didn't want to leave because it didn't want to leave its home. It had a warm place with lots of good food.
Right. So it could be a living thing, you know, like a tapeworm or a bacteria that was feeding off of you. Or it might have been some kind of energetic vampire. That's what I call entities that hitch a ride. They're kind of like those remoras that suck onto a shark, you know, and ride along with it. It just kind of feeds off your energy.
I had another question that was not related to that.
Sure, go ahead.
If you take the premise that every single cell in our body has its own memory and intelligence, mm-hmm. then when we get rid of a belief, does that change your whole body, or is it just related to a part? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. This is a really good question. So, you know, we're probably 30 or 40 years into a 300-year-long research project. You know, we just don't know for sure. You know, all we have is some experiential evidence, and the experiential evidence is that when you discreate a belief and it's really gone, it's gone. It doesn't come back. That's how you know it worked. So consciousness itself is still a mystery. You know, we're all explorers of this realm, and we're conducting experiments with ourselves. So we call this area where the beliefs live, we call it the subconscious, and we refer to it when we visit it, the imaginal realm. Now, we don't know where this is. You know, it might be in another dimension beyond our three dimensions of space and the fourth dimension of time. We really don't know a lot about this. Now, there's shamans who have thousands of years of history exploring these regions, and we're still new at it. And there's certainly intelligence in our cells. Biologists used to believe that the intelligence of the cell was in the nucleus, where the DNA is. And they now understand that the intelligence of the cell is in the cell wall, which allows certain molecules to come in and out of the cell and keeps other elements in or out. That's where the intelligence of the cell shows up. So this is about keeping good boundaries. When we are able to keep good boundaries in ourselves, we let certain things in and keep other things out. So cells also have a lot of regulatory mechanisms, like the ability to turn RNA and DNA on and off. And this area of study is pretty new. It's called epigenetics. And Bruce Lipton is a cellular biologist who's written about this in his book, The Biology of Beliefs. By the way, I recommend reading his book. It's really good. You know, he says that our beliefs can turn these mechanisms on and off, and that's how the mind interfaces with the body. So where are beliefs stored? I don't know. I think they can be stored anywhere because we live in an infinite universe. Now, from an epigenetic perspective, they could be stored in cells or tissues or bone. You know, viruses live inside the linings of nerve cells, for example, and some spirochetes, which look like the Lyme disease spirochete, can bore directly into bone and hide there away from the immune system, which is trying to kill them. So these creatures have been around for a lot longer than we have. You know, there's a lot of unknowns. I'm sorry I don't have a simple answer for you because we're in the early stages of this exploration. But we can use the mechanisms to our advantage, and that's what we're doing here. So changing our minds and our bodies by changing our beliefs. So thanks for asking that good question. Okay, Susanna, let's go to you next.
That was beautiful. I have a lot of appreciation for the whole thing, a lot of gratitude. Mine morphed a whole bunch. I really like this exercise, because it helped me come up with something I wasn't even aware of. I have several beliefs, but this one came up. It just started with my fibromyalgia.
Uh-huh.
I went like a fire and anger I didn't like the way I was being treated. My body wasn't liking the way it was being treated at all. I was very angry and enraged.
Yeah.
But finally, it had morphed into a belief. I deserve to be punished, which I actually remember as a small child hearing someone say that after I was mistreated. At the end, I had a little bit of a tough time, but how I ended was the belief, I'm a pro with unconditionally radiant health and well-being.
Oh, I love that. Would you say it again?
It's kind of choking me up.
Yeah, just let the feeling come in. Just enjoy the feeling that's producing. You know, let the tears flow. It's so important. It's really crucial to your well-being when you feel that the truth of that new belief. So just take a minute and say it again with even feeling as fully as you can.
I'm aglow with unconditionally radiant health and well-being.
I love that. So welcome home. This is really your natural state. That's what I love about this work, is that it gets us to that truth of who we really are.
It's all right. I was just going to say this is surprising, startling. Even, I really trust it.
Yeah, when you discreate something that's been with you for a long time, especially something as core as this, it touches you really deeply. It's very profound. And your life's going to be different from this point forward. So well done, Suzanne. I'm so happy to hear this. So when these core shifts happen, what you recognize at a very deep level is that you're not the belief that you've identified with for so long. You have the belief. You know, you picked it up and you can put it down. You know, up until that moment, in some way, you actually believed you were the belief. It was just true about you. And that's what's powerful about this process. This is true empowerment, because your true self has awakened. Because it's only the true self that can delete beliefs. So this is not a function of mind. It's actually a function of your divinity. And from that place of being your true self, you're naturally radiant. You're light. You're naturally healthy. And you naturally have all the positive characteristics that you carry, all of your virtues and your values. What's shining is your soul. So I'm so glad you said this, Susanna, just so I get a chance to repeat this. You are the true self when you discreate a belief. And when you create a new belief from that place, it's your natural state. It's who you are. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful. Okay, we'll take one more share. Bonnie, go ahead.
Hi. It was about 2 or 3 weeks ago I went into the belief closet, and I saw that I was completely covered with chains and ropes, and I was tied up very, very tightly, so tight that it was digging into my skin, and my skin was growing out around it. I don't even know what the belief was. It was just what I saw, even though I didn't know what the specific belief was. I managed to get the chains and ropes off and rags and knots in them, it all came off. I was able to burn it. When I looked for my new clothes and my new belief, I went into this deep sleep, almost like in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Yeah.
I was laid out on a slab with a crystal dome over me.
Yeah, it's like the Disney movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in that for like 2 or 3 weeks now. Even though I participate in your belief closet, I haven't been able to do any more beliefs. I'm still waiting in that coma sleep.
Wow. Well, that's really interesting. Is this a little disconcerting for you, or do you feel comfortable there?
Oh, it feels comfortable. I've tried different things, because I know in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, the prince or your animus comes and kisses you and brings you back to consciousness. And I tried that. That didn't work. I said, well, maybe my body just needs a rest.
Oh, interesting. Would you be willing to do a little work on it right now?
I'd love to do some work on it right now.
Okay, great. So just close your eyes and bring yourself back to that crystal slab. Just feel yourself there in the deep sleep, in the coma, and let me know when you're there.
Okay, I'm there.
Okay, feel what it feels like to be here.
feels very comfortable to be asleep.
Yeah.
Or unconscious or numb or whatever it is that it is.
Yeah. Good. So remember that before you got here, you were covered with all those chains and locks and ropes and rags. That must have been very uncomfortable.
I was shocked to see it. It was very tight, and it bound me up completely. I was completely bound.
Right, right. So being bound up like that, let's imagine that there were lots of beliefs that bound you up. So being bound was painful. So even your skin was growing over the locks and the chains. And so by taking off what had kept you locked in, but yet covered, you were taking off a protective layer. So even the chains were restricting you, they were also protecting you.
Oh, I hadn't seen it that way. Yeah, I can feel that.
And what were they protecting you from?
Growth, movement, feeling alive.
Right, they were doing that. But what was the bad thing they were protecting you from? What was the bad thing that might have happened if you hadn't been locked up and tied up like that?
By love. Love comes to mind.
Okay, good. So it's love. So just feel for a moment what it felt like to be tied up. Now, although it was uncomfortable to be tied up, it was better. It was even safer than being out in the world where your heart could be broken. So even though you were restricted and tied up, you were protected from that heartbreak.
Yes.
Right. So when you took off those ropes and chains and rags, you actually exposed yourself to having your heart broken.
Yes, or to feel the break.
Right, exactly. Now, what would be the next best thing so that you didn't have to feel that heartbreak?
Be asleep.
Right, right. Go to sleep, exactly. So you have this crystal protection over you so that you can't be harmed and you can't feel that heartbreak.
Right. I can even see the seasons change around me. I'm in the woods, and you can see that it's sunny and warm or that it's snowy and cold. I'm completely protected.
You are. That's true. So just accept this protection of the sleep and the crystal shell and recognize that you created another kind of safety.
Yes, I see that.
Now the question is, what's more important to you? Being fully alive with the possibility of having your heart broken or being safe?
I'd rather be fully alive.
Okay, good. So there's a part of you that would rather be fully alive, and there's another part of you that would rather be safe. Now you're going to have to invite the safety part into the crystal slab with you. You're going to have to invite it in. Let's call it the safety manager. So talk to the safety manager and say, thank you for protecting me all these years.
Thank you for protecting me all these years. You did a very good job. Thank you.
Yeah, but I've outgrown you now. I'm a grown woman.
I've outgrown you now. I no longer need this kind of safety.
Exactly. So I can provide my own safety because I'm wise and I have discernment.
And make my own decisions to keep myself safe.
Great. Now, would you be okay with me taking over the protection job that you've been doing?
Yes. Yes, the safety part is worn out. Sure, you take over. I'm worn out.
Right. It's been doing this job for a long time. So tell the safety part that it can either go back into the light or it can take a vacation in Tahiti or wherever it would like.
It's going back to the light.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
I see my arms raising up and pushing the dome off. I'm pushing it off myself. Oh, this feels pretty good. Now I'm sitting up. Thank you. I'm sitting up. I'm wearing like a, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm wearing what Disney had on Snow White, that cute little dress she was wearing.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that's kind of a young dress for me. I'm looking in the belief closet, and I'm taking that dress off because it's too young.
Yeah, you have a choice here. You can either burn it or you can put it in a special place in the closet. You know, it represents something precious, like, you know, your innocent, naive self. You know, you may want to keep it in the closet as a memento, or you might want to put it in the fire, whichever you prefer.
Yeah, I'm keeping it. I like it. I'm packing it up as a memento.
Beautiful. You can even create a special display case so that you can see it, but you're not going to be wearing it ever again.
Right. I'll put it in plastic.
Beautiful. Okay, good. So now close your imaginal eyes for a moment. Take a breath. And what would you like to believe about being fully alive and fully available with your heart open? Now, it does open the potential of heartbreak, and it also opens the potential of great love and a growing relationship and juicy joy. So what would you like to believe?
Yes, I like that feeling. Yes, I am feeling. I'm feeling everything. Joy and sadness, love and heartbreak. I'm capable of feeling all kinds of feelings. And being safe while I feel all the feelings.
Yeah.
I've got on, I guess, like a brocade caftan sort of thing. It's got gold and red and silver threads through it. It looks nice. I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm out of the crystal now. Thank you. I've been stuck in here for about 3 weeks now. I haven't been able to go into the belief closet since I was in there. Thank you.
You're very welcome. So welcome back out. What a new life, a wonderful new life you have to look forward to.
It's very exciting. I feel very alive. And you know what? I've been doing so much sleeping that whenever I'd go in and look at myself, are you still sleeping in the crystal? I would say that to myself. I've been spending so much time sleeping these past 3 weeks. I've been sleeping my life away. So it just put me into my own sleep, a real physical sleep. Well, this is great. Now I'm wide awake. I won't be able to go to sleep tonight.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, go out and enjoy yourself. And really appreciate your work, Bonnie. Thanks. It's been a pleasure to work with you.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome, and thank you to everybody in the class. It's been a wonderful treat to be with you. I'll just open the microphone so we can say goodbye to each other. So good night, everybody.
Bye. Thank you so much, Brian. It was fantastic.
Thank you.
It was so wonderful.
Bye.
Love you all. Bye.
You're welcome. You're so welcome, everybody, and you're awesome. Bye for now.